a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Nice to have you here this morning. This program, as you just heard, brought to you by, sponsored by Trax Power Sports Rentals and Bear River Lodge, the cabins at Bear River Lodge. Roger Eggett is my buddy behind both of those things. Every time I start to, feeling like I should complain because it's 16 degrees in Salt Lake City, I always think about Roger, who's getting up at 0:30 to head to the cabins. And last time I saw a photo of your dashboard in the truck, I think it said it was one or one below, something like that. What a balmy, beautiful day.
Good morning, Tim. And yeah, people, I posted it was -1 on my way to work, and people said, Roger, that's bad for publicity. And I said, well, it is what it is.
Yeah, and you know who that person was? My wife, actually, got on your social media.
Oh, you're right. It was Becky saying, yeah. Roger, look, I need to teach you how to market your product.
After years and years of selling radio, yeah. And now she's happily retired, so good luck getting her back into the workplace. How are things up there? I know just like ski resorts these days, you could use some snow probably, although you got a pretty good dusting we talked about on last week's program.
Yeah, we got that snowstorm. We didn't have any snow up till Christmas. And the day or two before Christmas, we got that big storm coming in and stayed through the holidays. And then we've had a couple small storms come through, but we could definitely use more snow. But you know what? We have enough to snowmobile. And last week we had all the snowmobiles out. This weekend, I think we have most of them out. So people are getting out and enjoying the outdoors.
Well,
the skies are blue,
yeah.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah, and as much as we would complain about cold temperatures, at least in those temperatures, the snow that we do have is holding up pretty well. So, that's good news. Speaking of snowmobiling, I saw on your social media you were posting some information. I guess the Utah Snowmobile Association is headed your way again.
Right. We did this last year for the first time. We held their annual snowmobile ride, and we have it scheduled again this year for March 5th. So 1 week, 1 month actually from today. The ride will be held up at Bear River Lodge. There will be exhibitors there in the parking lot with booths set up. And it's really fun, Tim. They set up a poker run throughout the forest. So they
and is waiting to see if there are any takers.
We came into these games with
political. The world is just continuing to digest what we just saw.
And you snowmobile to each station and you get a card. And then you come back at the end of the day to Bear River Lodge and they have poker hand drawings and who has the best poker hand. And it's really a fun event. You get to meet a lot of neat people and see a lot of neat things. And it's just a great way for snowmobilers to get together.
Well, and you've shared with us in the past that on the tail end of this event and events like it, you end up finding people that you probably have. And obviously you both love to snowmobile. You find some people that maybe you'd like to ride with on a regular basis.
Right. It's a great way to affiliate and to get to know more people and see what they're riding and see what, ideas they have and just make friends. And it's a great group of people. Snowmobilers are good people. I see this all the time. I see more service out of snowmobilers than anybody. As groups, they go out and they take care of the forest and they really do a phenomenal job. And obviously there's bad eggs in every group, but as a whole, the snowmobile community is an outstanding community.
Well, and you may or may not agree with me on this, but I think it's similar to what we encounter when we're out on our Harley-Davidsons doing motorcycle riding. And the thing is, everybody knows if somebody breaks down or somebody needs some help digging out that, it could be very well be you in a few hours that needs that help. And so they're more than happy to stop and do what they can.
Absolutely. You know what? You're right. On Harley rides, the most awesome thing on a Harley ride is to give the signal, you know, to just salute or wave to the other Harley riders because you know there's a brotherhood. It's the same thing with snowmobilers. And I get reports back all the time. It's funny. Since I rent 50 snowmobiles, how many guys text me, message me, hit me up on social media saying, hey, I dug out some of your renters today. And I say, hey, thanks. You know, like the renters will get off in some crazy place and guys will stop and help them and get them back on the trail and get them going again.
That salute Roger's talking about is a wave, by the way, not the one finger salute that sometimes is given to cars that cut you off when you're on the motorcycle. Hey, let's talk about cabins here for just a minute. It's been a while since we've talked about the unique opportunities that are available. We often talk about renting the cabins for a weekend, but what I really love to share with our audience, mostly because we get such a great response from them, Roger, is how affordable it is to have that cabin as your own in a shared ownership that is actually a deeded property that can be handed down through generations.
Right. You know, we have 16 cabins up at Bear River Lodge, and we took five of those cabins, identified them, and we put them into a shared ownership program. And so we now have about 70 owners who have bought in. They own a deed in one of those five cabins, but they get to share all five cabins. They get to book them and use them whenever they want throughout the year. It is a great program. There's a one-bedroom, three two-bedrooms, and a five-bedroom. So if it's just you and Becky coming up for the weekend, you could use your ownership to stay in a one-bedroom. If you're bringing the kids, a couple kids, stay in a two-bedroom. If you're bringing all the kids, stay in a five-bedroom. And it is you own a share in that cabin, and it's a great concept. You pay a fraction of the cost, and here's the kicker for me. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't worry about the taxes, the insurance, the maintenance, the housekeeping. You just show up. The cabin's beautiful. You get to enjoy it. You leave. Our staff gets it ready for the next owners. The next owners come in and have similar experiences and create memories. It's just a great way to own a mountain property.
Russ isn't here today, so he won't get in trouble for telling stories about the nightmares of cabin shared ownership with relatives. But everybody's heard the horror stories. If you only get up to the cabin once or twice a year and it's been sitting the entire rest of the year, you know when you get there, there's some cleanup that has to be done. There's some repairs that have to be done. And you've experienced this yourself with your mom and dad that, you know, you end up spending the first 24 to 48 hours doing nothing but work.
Right. And then when the kids leave, you spend all the time cleaning it up and trying to get it back put back together.
But yeah.
Shared ownership with full maintenance is the way to go. And we have an excellent program, and it's so affordable. You can buy a deed for somewhere between $10,000 and $30,000. That's a one-time fee. You pay it one time, and then every year you pay maybe between $500 and a couple thousand dollars, depending on how big of a deed you bought. And that's it. And we take care of everything. We share those costs, all the costs of ownership, maintenance, housekeeping. We share them amongst all the owners, and it's a great way to own a cabin.
All right. So, and people always wonder whether we misspoke when you say for as little as $10,000. You're in the process right now, so it's a great time to talk about the cost of building one. What's the cost of the cabin you're about to finish up there?
Well, this one's a big one. It's costing us over $1 million to build this one. It's a seven-bedroom, 5,000-square-foot cabin. And, you know, who wants to spend $1 million on a cabin? Nobody.
Yeah.
But, you know, this one is designed specifically for corporate retreats, but it's not inexpensive to own a mountain property. Buying it is just the tip of the iceberg. It's all the stuff that goes on with maintaining it, and that's where we come in. Once you're an owner in our shared ownership program, you don't have to, you just show up. It's beautiful. And if you show up, and obviously we're not perfect, there will be a maintenance issue here or there you identify. We have a full-time maintenance person gets over and gets it taken care of, and you're not worrying about it. You're out playing on the snowmobiles or swimming in the pool or fishing in the ponds or riding the side-by-sides or hiking out in nature. Just come up and enjoy your time. Don't worry about all the hassles of ownership. You just enjoy being with your family. We'll take care of everything else.
Yeah, that really is the case. The relaxation getaway actually begins in your driveway at home as you start that drive, which is just a short one, just from Salt Lake City straight up to Evanston in Wyoming. Take a right-hand turn, and when you get to the National Forest, you are at Bear River Lodge. Tell people how to get information, and I know that you always welcome a call to you directly if they want.
Sure. And I work with all owners because I have so many friends now who are owners, but if they go to BearRiverLodge.com, there is a tab right there that says shared cabin ownership. Click on that. I made a little 17-minute YouTube video they can watch and learn more about the program. They can fill out a form to email me or truly call me or email me, roger@bearriverlodge.com or 801-971-4002. And I'll answer all your questions about shared ownership. It's, you know, my own parents have now bought, my brother has bought. It's something I would sell to my own family because I believe in it so much.
And I will stand by this guy as one of the really great minds of entrepreneurship out there. Always has so many irons in the fire, but is always more than willing to take the time to help you and your families out to start those memories that are going to last a lifetime. My friend, thank you.
All right. Stay warm, Tim, and send snow.
I'll do my best. We'll see what we can do. We'll take another break. The Western Hunting Expo, a conservation expo, is coming, and we'll tell you more about that coming up in just a minute. So don't go away as we get ready to wrap up the program this morning on KSL.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ooh la la, oh my my, things get cooking around 5:15. Men get stupid and women roll their eyes when Tammy does a shimmy at the fish fry. Yeah.
Hey, let me just get this information out before we jump in with Fish Bites, and I meant to do it on our news of the week, that construction at Echo Reservoir has resumed. The main entrance and the beach are currently closed. For those who would like to use the reservoir for ice fishing, there are some public pullouts along the Echo Dam Road where access to the water body is possible. And remember to always use caution and be prepared if you're heading out onto the ice. All right, you want to talk
about whitefish? Okay, so look, this is the most maligned fish in the state, and we talk about fish bigotry, okay?
Yeah.
This is a native fish. My friend calls them God's fish because that's who put them here. These are amazing fish. I watched a man, this is 100 years ago, but one time he punted one. He just kicked it, and I go, what are you doing? And he goes, it's one of those trash fish. Well, no, that's not a trash fish. That's a whitefish. And by the way, they were here before we were here, and they're amazing, and they catch amazingly well. We say they have shoulders in fly fishing vernacular, which means they're strong fighters. And it, yes, it's true. Whitefish can't jump. But what you need to know is that they're a blast and they're fun to catch. And this is when they spawn. By the way, first week of February is the peak of the spawn of whitefish. And this is true for whitefish in Utah. Okay, now that's key to understand. Is the whitefish in Idaho, the whitefish in Montana, the same whitefish? It is. Prosimian William Stoney. But when they receded from the second ice age, they had residue fisheries where they've all landed, and over time they've evolved a little differently. Because if you're going to fish the Madison, the whitefish spawn in May. If you're going to fish, Henry's Fork and the Snake, they spawn in November. So they have evolved at some level. All of their roe is generally amber. And I say that's important because roe is good fly fishing, you know, bait. We use, you know, I have a lot of amber beads that I tie to a hook and you can't miss. And by the way, when I say can't miss, I'm talking about the browns and the rainbows. They love whitefish roe. People don't like them because they think they compete with their so-called sport fish, which is trout. And the opposite is true. This is a symbiotic relationship. The trout are large in Utah. In fact, we're one of the few states where trout actually put weight on in the winter. Mostly it's the summer months when they get all their calories. But they put weight on in the winter in Utah because of the whitefish.
Yeah.
Because of the healthy nature of the whitefish. They have so many roe. Each one of those fish have 5,000 eggs. And that's 2 bags, and they're incredibly large. And the reason why so many is because they needed offspring to make it through those drought years. Understand, we have tailwaters now, which means we have dams. So the water's going to stream throughout. But in our history, they would dry up and they would only leave pools. And so they let a lot of eggs go in hopes that 2 make it to the next generation. And they've thrived and they've done wonderfully well. Now, everybody says, well, I don't like them because you can't eat them. They got bones. No, no. Wrong. This is a meaty fish, not a bony fish. And by the way, if you're going to eat a fish, that's the one you want. The whitefish are delicious. They're fabulous fish, and they're more meat than bone, as I explained. No, you got mercury. You got to worry about how much fish you're consuming in Utah because the mercury levels are off the charts. But you can have a few once in a while. The whitefish is the one you want. It tastes the best. And by the way, Bear Lake's whitefish are spawning right now, too. And by the way, if you're fishing in Bear Lake, it's great white fishing right now. You want to find the rocky outcoast. So they're in about 30 feet to 20 feet in the rockiest places. That's where they drop their eggs. So bring your boats out there, catch the whites. Yeah, they're bigger in Bear Lake. And by the way, if you want to taste them, they're phenomenal. That water at Bear Lake is just fabulously clear. The whitefish from Bear Lake are delicious. I like to bread them a little bit in a batter and then drop them in a little fryer. Fabulous eating. Don't underestimate them. They're our fish, and they're amazing fish.
Yeah.
So don't treat them poorly.
Don't you usually go after or catch most of your whitefish in the river rather than in the lake or reservoir?
Yeah, because I'm a fly fisherman. It's better, easier. But, yeah, the Weber River's got a lot of them, the Provo. All of our rivers have whiteys, and like I say, don't belittle them. They love it, they hit hard, and they fight long.
Well, one of the most important points you made, I think, if you love to fish and catch browns or rainbows or anything else, they're feeding on the roe of those whitefish. And so imitating that at spawn time will be key.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Amber roe right now is red hot.
Yeah. Before we wrap things up, I just want to make sure I do this. I don't know whether we'll have time in Fish Bites, or excuse me, in Snow Day coming up when we check in on the ice fishing tournament that's happening today at Steinecker. But I did want to say congratulations to Brighton Ski Resort. They, over the weekend, celebrated their 85th anniversary. And they had quite a blowout, it sounds like, with free s'mores, fireworks. They had a DJ that was up there. I wish we could have been up to be a part of it. But they really had a big blowout party. So happy 85th to Brighton. All right, we need to break. ABC News at the top of the hour. We'll get a local update on the other side. And then we'll talk Snow Geese, the Snow Goose Festival coming up end of the month down at Gunnison Bend.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.